your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
Welcome to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. It's a pleasure to have you here. Dynamite program today. Absolutely dynamite program today. I got to tell you, I was a little worried.
Why?
Well, I was coming out of Houston, you know, a busy week. It was a busy week. You know, got in Thursday. It was one of those deals where you just, you know, it's that Rob Pincus adrenaline thing. You just don't slow down. You're always doing something.
Yeah.
You know? And you realize when you get to your final destination, which was a real crap hole, too, by the way, over there by the airport. But it didn't matter to me because it was the first time you really got downtime, you know, after 3 or 4 days. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And the Houston Rodeo and the barbecue cook-off. Talk about learning, sitting back and taking an opportunity and being there to assist a little bit. But to watch the Masters in action was huge. And, of course, I'm referring to Bill Cannon and the Texas Barbecue Rub, TXBBQRub.com barbecue cooking team. Man, they had a smoker that was... It was the real deal.
That's just all kind of wrong right there.
It was the real deal. You know, I'll put some photos. I'll be putting some photographs of it up here in just a little bit. In fact, I have some on my Facebook page, and people can head over to facebook.com/armedamericanradio if you're a barbecue fanatic like I am and enjoy the art of the cook. It's really not about the eating. To me, it's the art of the cook. Love it. It's the art of the cook. And fire management, learning proper fire management, and barbecuing while armed is a passion. What can I tell you? You know? Some people build ice sculptures and sandcastles. I like to build fires and see smoke. Cook some food. But
I like to eat.
Bill Cannon joins me right now. You heard Bill on the show a few weeks ago. Again, Bill is the founder of TexasBarbecueRub.com. And I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, if you cook like I do, if you're looking for a great rub, look no further than Texas Barbecue Rub, TXBBQRub.com. Just trust me on this one. Bill Cannon, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you back, man.
How you doing tonight, Mark?
Well, the question is, how are you doing? You've had one hell of a weekend, and I was unable to participate Saturday because of obligations with the Gander Mountain, incredible concealed carry expo that followed the barbecue and everything else. Did you guys get cleaned up? How'd you make out?
We did good. We got cleaned up, and I've actually got Z sitting here with me, so these guys are in for a double dose sometimes.
Yeah, Z is a phenomenal master cook. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you can walk by a smoker that's – what's the diameter of that smoker that you had out there at the pit?
That's a 36-inch – diameter, 8 foot long pit.
With a vertical chamber on the side and a firebox off to the side of that.
Yeah, that's enough. That's add another 3 feet of vertical smoker on the end.
Okay. When you can walk by and touch, and what's the gauge steel?
That's quarter inch steel.
Okay, when you, he walks by on the art of this, set his hand on it, walk over to the other cooking chamber, set his hand on it, go, we're okay, don't nobody touch nothing, don't need no logs on there.
Yeah,
that's some good cooking right
there.
To
me, that's just a beautiful thing. See, I happen to like that's the art of fire management. And somebody who's been doing this a long time, and that's the professional level of cooking. You cooked for how many people? And we prepped, and I'm proud to say I participated. For how many people on Saturday?
We fed about 1,000 people. Wow. 600 on Friday, and another 400 or 500. I don't really know the exact numbers, but somewhere around there. Plate count was about 1,400.
Give me the numbers. How many racks of ribs did you go through?
152.
And how many briskets did you run?
It was about 45 briskets, I think.
Okay. And then the sides, potatoes and everything else, right?
Yeah, we had potatoes, 200 pounds of Bell Surprise potatoes. And, God, I don't know how many beans we went through, bunches.
Well, I can tell you that because I participated in making a bunch of them, and I've got all that on video, and it was absolutely phenomenal to watch you guys.
Fun.
Now, I'll tell you something fun. I was at the Gander Mountain. I followed the event with you and headed up, as you know, from Reliant Stadium up to the Gander Mountain Concealed Carry Expo at the Gander Mountain Academy in Spring, Texas, about 45 miles north, straight up 45, coincidentally, close to the Woodlands. And I had three bags of your rub in my backpack.
Ah. Well, that's what I like.
Right. Well, when I sat there at the table, and I was signing some books for some fine folks up there, and we were talking guns all day and concealed carry expo cool stuff and handing out concealed carry magazines and so forth. I had a guy, I took the rub out of the backpack and I set it down on the table and I just had to smell it because I could smell it coming from the backpack. I wasn't about to leave it in the car, so I put it on the table. And the aroma started drawing people over. What is that?
There you go.
I had a guy walk over and he says, whose rub is that? And I said, are you serious? And he says, it's yours. You're Mark Walters. I said, yes. He said, that's the best rub. He says, I've been cooking with that for years. He says, I know Bill. And I said, you got to be kidding me. So I took a photo of us after we got to talking about how he had met you. A number of people walked up to the table and said, that's best. That right there, best rub in Texas. I've been cooking with that for years. How'd you get that? I said, dude, I know the owner. Do you? He said, no, but I'd like to. I said,
you got the inside guy.
Got the inside dope over here. So I took a photograph with this man. He has actually been out to your office out there in Richmond.
Okay.
And his name was Mike. Really nice guy. And I'll get those photographs to you. Just haven't had time yet.
Oh, cool. Appreciate it.
Yeah, check your text. I think I did send that one to you, by the way.
Okay.
But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, and again, I got no skin in this game. I just love to cook. And it took me years, Bill, to master what I do, and I'm still not there. And to be able to watch you guys and learn from you guys was fascinating. So it turns grilling while armed and barbecuing while armed. There's a difference between grilling and barbecuing. But it takes smoking while armed to a whole new level. Mm. With you guys. It really, really does. And to cook with you guys, if George was there when he sees the photographs, he'll probably change the pairings of the firearms to what's being cooked. I can't wait to see. Because, oh, he'll say you've got to have an AR-15 when you're cooking 115 ribs.
That's what I think.
Maybe two or three. You need a 308.
To keep the people from beating you down on them, you know?
It's fantastic.
It's all good. It was a great weekend. And you're experienced. You've got good experience. So,
well, I tell you, it's fun to have you back because you asked me to come out there and cook at that event with you on this show several weeks ago. And
That's right. It
just so happened to be the weekend that I was going to be down for the fantastic Gander Mountain sponsored and Armed American sponsored CCW Expo. And we'll be back for that again in October. And we'll give you, ladies and gentlemen, plenty of advance notice for the next Gander Mountain event in Spring, Texas. But I was going to say, I have no skin in the game here other than the fact that I love to cook. And I've been looking for a rub that I could use. It was very versatile. Could work for me on chicken, could work for me on some pork butts and pork shoulders, could work for me on a brisket. And I found it. And that's how you and I got connected. And it's TXBBQRUB, TexasBarbecueRub.com. You cannot get any better. How many different kinds of rubs do you have?
We have four of the smoking rubs, and then we have a couple of grilling spices.
Okay, so let's move from the grilling spices. That's rookie stuff. Let's go to the smoking stuff. You have you have the original rub.
We have the original rub, and then what we used out there was what we call our Grand Champion rub.
Mm. Okay. The difference between that and the original, subtle, but a difference.
Subtle, but a difference. The original has got a little more spice kick, a little kick to it, and then sweetness following it. The Grand Champion is not quite as spicy, but it has other flavors enhanced, the garlics and onions. Mm.
Okay, and then, of course, you have the brisket rub, the old number two brisket rub, right?
Right.
And
that's
the diff-
more of a big meat kind of a rub.
And that
pork butt.
Good way to put it, because that brisket is a big meat, and it takes a lot of experience to learn how to cook that. And you've been on the show and educated us on that as well. 420, let me tell you how fun this was and what I'm talking about with these rubs. 420 teams cooked at that event, correct?
Well, I think it was the actual number ended up 427.
427 teams, You have placed as high as what with your brisket?
We were fifth again this week.
Fifth out of four. Wow.
And that's three out of the last 4 years we've been fifth.
Fifth out of 427 teams. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're placing fifth at a world champion event in Texas, nobody's making anything any better than you are. Bill, thank you very much for everything. We'll talk later this week. I appreciate you jumping on the show. I know how busy you've been this weekend, and for the honor and the privilege of having me there at that fantastic event.
We appreciate you coming down. We enjoyed the hell out of it.
Thank you very much, Bill. We'll talk soon. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Armed American Radio. I'm Mark Walters, wishing I was barbecuing while armed. Back with Guns, David Kodrey, and the Mad Ogre right after this.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies, staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300 degree simulators. Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
The Ruger SR45, a large caliber pistol with a trim, ergonomic profile. Like the popular Ruger SR9 and SR40, the SR45 is perfectly sized to be comfortable and controllable with a slim, ergonomic grip and narrow slide. It features an adjustable three-dot sight system, Ruger's unique reversible backstrap, an ambidextrous manual safety and magazine release, and built-in Picatinny rail. The Ruger SR45, another rugged, reliable firearm from Ruger. The Ruger American Rifle is a 100% American-made firearm that offers outstanding performance at a great price. Available in standard size and compact models, it features power bedding integral bedding blocks, a Ruger Marksman adjustable trigger, a flush-fit 4-round rotary magazine, and a 3-lug bolt with 70-degree throw. Compact models feature a shorter length of pull and a shorter barrel for a reduction in overall length of more than 5 inches. The Ruger American Rifle, another rugged, reliable firearm from Ruger.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The new Tac Slide by Galco Gun Leather combines steer hide and kydex together for a fast, concealable, and economical holster design. The Tac Slide mates a kydex holster pocket to a slotted steer hide backplate with an open top and neutral cant to provide the fast and smooth draw. With 1 3/4 belt slots, the Tac Slide is worn close to the body for maximum concealment and comfort for under $40. Visit usgalco.com today. That's usgalco.com.
Didn't think you could afford that new AR-15? Yes, you can. Check out the DTI-4 by Delton. The 16-inch M4 comes fully equipped with a collapsible stock, car handguards, A2 flash suppressor, cleaning kit, two 30-round magazines, a sling, and a beautiful hard-sided case, all under $760. Delton, priced right for any budget. DEL-TON.com. That's DEL-TON.com.
North American Arms offers the most popular mini revolvers ever produced. Chambered in .22 short, .22 long rifle, and .22 magnum, the North American Arms mini revolvers are the standard by which all other mini revolvers are judged. These incredibly small and compact revolvers offer 5-shot capacity in your pocket when the chips are down and your life is on the line. The .22 long rifle can also be ordered with a holster grip. For more information on these incredible mini revolvers, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
This segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by G-Code Holsters. To carry your gun in a G-Code holster, visit tacticalholsters.com. Now, here's Mark Walton.
Welcome back to the program. I'll be carrying a full-size 9mm firearm in a G-Code holster tomorrow afternoon out on some open property where I'm going to be doing some shooting. Yeah. And I will be using the G-Code, one of my two G-Code tactical holsters, during that little private event. Let's call it a private event out there. George the Mad Ogre, welcome to the program. How you doing, brother?
It is a pleasure and a privilege, as always.
It always is.
And if you're packing a G-Code holster, then you're doing it right.
I love it, yes. I'm not right now. I will be tomorrow. I'm actually packing a Crossbeat Super Tuck right now with a Car CW40 in it. Tomorrow will be a 9mm.
You're not carrying a tactical gun.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. I will be tomorrow and doing some tactical practice and training.
Now, are you going to be jumping over stuff and all that?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a long weekend.
I was going to say.
David Kodria, welcome to the program, my friend. How you doing?
I am recovering, as you can probably tell from my voice. So
yes,
every once in a while, I may have to cover the phone and do a little coughing here. So
hey, that's okay. You've earned a couple hacks live on the radio. No big deal. We appreciate everything you do. And I know I made comment last week on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, this is one of those strange things where if you are a regular listener to the show, you know David is a weekly contributor to the broadcast, and his wisdom is just immeasurable. We just can't put anything on it. We depend on David every week for his incredible insight, as only he can bring it. And the same for the ogre and the wisdom and the humor that George brings to the show, again, is just immense. And David, I was telling listeners last week, I was actually on the phone with you when you got sick.
Yeah, it was coming on, wasn't it?
It was the weirdest thing. I was talking with you. You sounded fine. And about 10 minutes into the conversation, you were... I said, you sound like you're getting a cold. You said, yeah, it's just hitting me. And I thought, how weird is that?
Yeah.
It was very strange.
By that night, I had to call Shanto and beg off.
Yeah, you couldn't even talk on the radio. It was really something. But it's good to see you back.
Well, thank you. And, you know, after you asked how I'm doing, the other thing I'm doing is after that first segment, I'm starving. So.
Oh, yeah. What an event. What an incredible event that was. Wow, to be able to have the honor to be able to cook with those professionals was really, really something. George the Mad Ogre Hill, I've got to ask you, stood in front of, the whole overall pit was probably about 15. You put the trailer in at 16, 17-foot pit. You saw the photographs, George.
Mm-hmm.
35 racks of ribs in one cooking chamber on four different levels, each with its own gauge. Firebox tuning plates below it, mesquite wood crackling, smoke billowing out of everything, absolutely incredible. Over to the left, briskets, meatloaf, potatoes, hundreds of sausages on the other four racks. Dude, what do you pair up with that? It ain't a little tiny pistol.
No, you're going to pair up a Smith & Wesson Model 29 44 Magnum, blued with big wood Magnum grips, a 5-inch, maybe a 6-inch barrel, whatever suits your taste best. Mm. And you're going to be packing that in a nice, well-crafted Texas leather holster. So.
Nah, George, I'm going to have to disagree with you for the first time ever on our Grilling While Armed. David, are you here? You follow me here? That requires a .308 slung over your shoulder.
So that's what I was thinking.
Or a Barrett 50 caliber. That's not a pistol. I'm sorry, George. That ain't a six gun, man.
That's what I was thinking.
That's a 50 caliber.
I wasn't there. I wasn't there. Now, I've tasted these rubs. I've tasted the cooking that comes from these rubs, and I know it is high caliber stuff. There's no question.
Ooh. David. That's why George is here. High caliber rubs. I love it. Yeah, that pit was minimum caliber of a .308, minimum .308. So, I mean, there were barbecue pits in there, 15, 18 feet long, that were United Airlines jets.
What?
Wings, engines, the whole nine yards. Yeah, you open up the – you're feeding coals onto the flight deck. You lift up the nose, and the nose was the firebox, and the entire fuselage was four or five. Oh, it was just absolutely incredible. Yeah, I have the photos. I'll post
them. I hated I missed that.
All right, yeah, that was something else. David, George, I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to disagree with you on pairing up the firearm. Houston listeners, I know many of you are listening right now live. We're out there for that event, and those of you who came by, wow, great to see you all. David, there's some fascinating stuff going on in California right now.
Yeah, there is.
And, we have a couple counties now, based on that ruling, that have said, you know what, the hell with it. We're done with the May issue. We're just going to go ahead and honor the court's ruling. You want to tell us about it?
Well, what I'm wondering is, yeah, there was a Ninth Circuit Court ruling by a three-judge panel that basically said that May issue is unconstitutional because people weren't able to get their permits, and open carry, of course, is illegal in California. And what this does is now this creates a significant conflict with what's gone on in Maryland, where a different court ruled that May issue was constitutional. And so this could create a case for the Supreme Court, which has been ducking Second Amendment cases recently. They ducked three, and then they ducked a fourth one. You know, Gary Marbin with his Firearms Freedom Act. They refused to hear that. And Mark, that's one of the things we've been saying all along. Is first of all, with the makeup of this court, why it's so critical that we don't allow one more anti-gunner to get on the court because of the 5-4 rulings in Heller and McDonald.
Right.
Okay, but for right now, all that has to happen for bad law to stand is for the Supreme Court to do nothing and not to hear it. And what's going on in California now, I guess the district attorney, Kamala Harris, who is, as far as I'm concerned, I call her Kamala the Red, she is now trying to insert herself in this case and get the full ninth to hear it. And she was not part of the case throughout, and now all of a sudden she's trying to change the rules and get this derailed. But I find it encouraging that particularly in Orange County, right, which used to have better concealed carry back when I guess Mike Corona was the sheriff down there, San Diego has been a lost cause for a while. Los Angeles, it's practically impossible unless you know somebody. San Francisco, forget about it. And yet I have friends who live in other areas like Porterville, and their chiefs are, you know, quite willing to issue a concealed carry permit as long as the person, you know, just goes ahead and puts in for it, and it's reasonable. You know, they don't have to prove any kind of special cause.
Well, Porterville, you're listening to this broadcast right now. You've been very fortunate in your area in California to be able to get a permit. And, David, you're absolutely correct. What I found fascinating about this was when you have Orange County, what was the other, Ventura County, I believe?
I'm sorry?
Orange County and Ventura?
What about Orange County and Ventura?
These are the two counties that are now ditching May issue and moving to shall issue.
Oh, right.
Which
right.
will have a huge impact on any decision for the Ninth Circuit to even look at this. This bodes very well for you, California gun owners, and by default, a lot of us, as the Supreme Court now, gets a chance to take a look at these. Good stuff. I have to say thanks to California on that one, particularly those two counties. We'll be back right after this.
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet can cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Walters here to tell you about three powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips, like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off the everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com. armedamericandvdoffer.com. Do it now.
Hi everyone, I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.com. NRAHQ.org.
North American Arms offers the most popular mini revolvers ever produced. Chambered in 22 short, 22 long rifle, and 22 magnum, the North American Arms mini revolvers are the standard by which all other mini revolvers are judged. These incredibly small and compact revolvers offer 5-shot capacity in your pocket when the chips are down and your life is on the line. The 22 long rifle can also be ordered with a holster grip. For more information on these incredible mini revolvers, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
The new Tac Slide by Galco Gun Leather combines steer hide and kydex together for a fast, concealable, and economical holster design. The Tac Slide mates a kydex holster pocket to a slotted steer hide backplate with an open top and neutral cant to provide the fast and smooth draw. With 1 3/4 belt slots, the Tac Slide is worn close to the body for maximum concealment and comfort for under $40. Visit usgalco.com today. That's usgalco.com.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated, never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today. Now, back to Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the program. We're going to jump right in here. When may I shoot a student? This is, I think, the most sophomoric, idiotic piece I've ever seen in the New York Times. Written by Greg Hampakian. David Cody, you're familiar with this piece, I know.
Absolutely familiar with that piece.
I need to read some of this. I want listeners to understand what it is that the left, the lunatic left, the extreme gun-hating ignorance that exists, that would cause a college professor to write one of the most sophomoric pieces I've ever seen. Boise, Idaho, to the chief counsel of the Idaho State Legislature. In light of the bill permitting guns on our state's college and university campuses, which is likely to be approved by the State House of Representatives in the coming days, I have a matter of practical concern that I hope you can help with. When may I shoot a student? I'm a biology professor, not a lawyer, and I had never considered bringing a gun to work until now, but since many of my students are likely to be armed, I thought it would be a good idea to even the playing field. Against the law-abiding citizens, ladies and gentlemen. I have had encounters with disgruntled students over the years, some of whom seemed quite upset, but I always assumed that when they reached into their backpacks, they were going for a pencil. Since I carry a pen to lecture, I did not feel outgunned, and because there are no working sharpeners in the lecture hall, the most they could get off is a single point. But now that we'll all be packing heat, I would like the legal instruction and the rules of classroom engagement. At present, the harshest penalty available here at Boise State is expulsion, used only for the most heinous crimes, like cheating on Scantron exams. But now that lethal force is an option, I need to know which infractions may be treated as de facto capital crimes. I assume that if a student shoots first, I am allowed to empty my clip. But given the velocity of firearms and my aging reflexes, I'd like to be proactive. For example, if I'm working out a long equation on the board and several students try to correct me using their laser sights, am I allowed to fire a warning shot? If two armed students are arguing over who should be served next at the coffee bar and I sense escalating hostility, should I aim for the legs and remind them of the campus shared values statement? Knee-jerk reactions from law enforcement officials and university presidents are best set aside. Ignore, for example, the lame argument that some drunken frat boys will fire their weapons in violation of best practices. This view is based on stereotypical depictions of drunken frat boys, a group whose dignity no one seems willing to defend. The problem, of course, is not that drunken frat boys will be armed. It is that they are drunken frat boys. Arming them is clearly not the issue. They would cause damage with or without guns. I would point out that urinating against a building or firing a few rounds into a sorority house are both violations of the same honor code. The stupidity continues with this exceptionally moronic piece written by a supposedly intelligent man. David Kodria, can you break down for me, at least try to break down for me, the psychology behind this idiocy?
He's what Julia Gorin, writer who writes for Jewish World Review, wrote a fantastic piece many years ago, over 10 years ago, called The Anti-Gun Male. And she starts, let's be honest, he's scared of the thing. Okay? And essentially, what this guy is basically saying is that people who have permits are automatically going to change their behavior when they're in a college environment, because he cannot point to the same law-abiding people engaging in this behavior when it's off campus. But, you know, it's funny because while your first guest was on in the first hour, the gentleman from Idaho,
Andrew Wheeler, yes,
right, Andrew Wheeler, I received an email from one of my readers, and it says an answer to the question of when can I shoot a student, and he gives me a link to a Washington Post article, and the headline on this is Liberty University officer who shot student during hammer attack won't be charged. So here's the answer. When can I shoot a student? When they try to bash your head in with a sledgehammer. How about that? How about if you're that witless and stupid that you don't know when your own life is in danger, basically all you're doing is you're advertising to the world your own defects. Don't project it onto me.
Well said. George Hill, the Mad Ogre, your thoughts on that, the absolute lunacy from the professor?
Well, my thoughts are this. Almost all of the big mass shootings that we've had have been liberal wackos like this guy here. This guy's just announcing that he's looking for a reason to pop somebody. This guy's mentally unhinged. And if I was one of his students, I'd drop his class in a heartbeat and demand a refund of my tuition.
Yeah, let's keep in mind that we're talking about Idaho, very gun-friendly, very gun-loving state. This man is not capable of believing in any way, shape, or form, David Kodria, the fact, and George, that a law-abiding student who has probably grown up around guns will exhibit proper gun safety. These are law-abiding people, and let me give you let me take you to where I'm referring to here, where he says, "I am a biology professor, not a lawyer, and I had never considered bringing a gun to work until now. But since many of my students are likely to be armed, I thought it would be a good idea to even
the playing field." He's in Idaho. Everybody's armed in Idaho. I live there.
Of course, this is why I said idiocy. David, he thought it would be a good idea to even the playing field. Now, I talked about this. Houston listeners, those of you coming back from the rodeo today, or perhaps some of you are probably sleeping. You might be picking this up on tomorrow's podcast. I wouldn't blame you. You'll hear this conversation coming up with this young man from Idaho who wrote me a fantastic letter. But, David, I referred then, and I'll do it again now in this segment, that to insinuate that bringing a gun to even the playing field when we are talking about law-abiding concealed carry permit holders and not criminals. I believe this man thinks and feels that a firearm makes you a criminal inherently by simple possession of it. You are now a gangbanger in this guy's mind and now no longer a law-abiding citizen with your law-abiding, with your concealed carry permit, your lawfully owned firearm, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's an interesting side note on this guy because he's considered a DNA expert. And he actually had an input on the Amanda Knox trial in Italy where he announced that based on his independent investigation and review, DNA samples taken at the crime scene all pointed to, and he blamed this African drifter and excluded Amanda Knox and the other person. But upon reexamination of the DNA, he concluded that the evidence is unreliable and contaminated, and his findings are one of the main reasons that these people were set free. So you can take that into consideration as well in terms of this guy's professional credentials.
Interesting. I was unaware of that. Sean, let me bring your thoughts in here. What do you take away from hearing? And again, ladies and gentlemen, this is why activism is so vital. This is what these people will. This is the lengths that they will go to. And again, I'm going to go back to the media. I do this often, particularly on this show. The New York Times, the paper of record, printed this. Sean?
Yes.
What do you take away from, I thought it would be a good idea to even the playing field, knowing that we're talking about law-abiding students, that's whom he is talking about here?
He's misinformed and he's an idiot. That's what I mean, you know, one of the things you said there was talking about gang members. Well, gang members don't care about permits or anything else. They're gang members.
Well, he, I know we don't have enough time. We're getting ready to take a break. What timing? That's the professional in me. When we come back, I want to read, again, a quote that I read earlier about the assuming that when students reached in their backpacks, they were going for a pencil. Give you a unique take on exactly why he was a fool for even assuming that. I'm Mark Walters. This is Armed American Radio, back with George Hill, Shanto, and David Kogi right after this.
You're a 23 laboring
nurse? Yes. I told you on my last call. They're in my house. Where are you guys?
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Car Arms introduces the new addition to their double-action micro-compact pistol line, the CW380, with a 2.5-inch barrel, an overall length under 5 inches, and standing under 4 inches tall. The CW380 weighs just 10.2 ounces, making it the perfect choice for lawful concealed carry. The micro-compact CW380 allows rapid-fire follow-up shots with little recoil and retails for under $420. The new CW380 from Car Arms. Carry one today. Galco's patented new V-Hawk tuckable inside-the-waistband holster reaches unheard-of heights in comfort, speed, stability, and versatility. Constructed of premium steer hide, the V-Hawk comes complete with leather belt loops and tuckable injection-molded hooks. The open-top design offers both speed and ease of draw, and the reinforced mouth offers one-handed return to the holster. Buy the V-Hawk from Galco at GalcoGunLeather.com today. That's GalcoGunLeather.com. The classic design of the Magnum Research Desert Eagle pistol is back. Manufactured by IWI, Israel Weapons Industries, and designed to exacting Israeli military toughness and reliability specs, the Magnum Research Desert Eagle pistols are in a class all their own. These world-famous semi-automatic pistols are available in .44 Magnum or .50 AE calibers. Magnum Research is a car arms company. To find a dealer near you, please visit Car Arms at car.com. That's K-A-H-R.com. The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
As we all know, the Second Amendment is under attack. It's 2014, that's right, election year. And as a gun owner, I like to keep up with all the political news surrounding the Second Amendment. And the way I do that, IRFnews.com. IRFnews.com is a new concept in news gathering. One place, one stop, see what they're talking about, see what's going on, and protect the Second Amendment. Quite simple, IRFnews.com. And remember, the Second Amendment is not debatable.
Can I take my gun up to heaven? You know she's always been by my side.
This is Armed American Radio, giving you a voice. Now, your host,
can I take my gun up to heaven?
Mark Walters.
A jacket with St. Peter at the gate.
I have had encounters with disgruntled students over the years, some of whom seemed quite upset. But I always assumed that when they reached into their backpacks, they were going for a pencil. Idiot. Let me tell you what that proves. That this guy, that one line, proves the utter idiocy of this man. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to call stupid is as stupid does and as stupid says and as stupid writes. Let me tell you why. First of all, this man apparently believes that everybody's going to pay attention to the no guns allowed on campus sign at Boise. Kind of like Shuangwei Cho. Follow the rules at Virginia Tech. Kind of like the Connecticut monster. You know, that was a gun-free school, Newtown. So was Virginia Tech. So was Aurora. So was Columbine. And every other shooting in a gun-free safety zone. Gun-free safety zones should be outlawed for this very reason. Clearly, this guy cannot wrap his head around the fact that evil exists and will not pay attention to your rules and to your laws. If that disgruntled student wanted to take a gun to campus to kill him, he or she would have done it. The sign be damned. David Kodria. That one line says it all, as far as I'm concerned, in every word I've read on this op-ed.
Sure. What you have to ask yourself is, if someone bad did come into his classroom, what would the good professor be prepared to do about it? And the answer is he would be prepared to scream, to plead, to pray, to bleed out, to hide, to die, and to be absolutely and utterly useless to himself and everyone around him.
Well, he did say he had a pen, so he didn't feel outgunned.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the pen would work.
What he's doing, Mark, is he's using snark and insult.
Exactly.
Because he doesn't have an argument. And it gets back to the progressive, quote-unquote, playbook, you know, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. And rule number 5 is that ridicule is man's most potent weapon, and it'll enrage and put your enemies off balance. And that's what he's doing. He's looking for attention. He's using ridicule. But he's also revealing something about himself, including his own uselessness and his own paranoia. And it's funny how they project on us, and they want to say how gun owners are paranoid because we believe in having the means of defense and the training and the ability to take care of ourselves, and that's just paranoid. But who's exhibiting paranoia here? I'm worried that students are going to pull guns out of backpacks.
Right.
Really?
What he needs to understand, if a student wanted to walk into Boise right now in an unarmed, gun-free zone environment, they could do so at will to do exactly as he describes. So it's difficult to try to understand his, I can say logic, I say lack of logic, his ignorance, if you will. George, the Mad Ogre, is the criminal going to pay attention to the no gun sign?
Absolutely not. They've got more important things to do, such as, obey all the traffic laws and look both ways before crossing the street, things like that.
And not speed.
And, of course, obeying all speed limits, yes.
Yeah.
See, criminals, they're very conscientious people. They never go into the post office while packing. They're just misunderstood.
That is what it is. I do think they're misunderstood. David, I mentioned the pen. Maybe you could stab somebody to death with a pen. Stabbing is in the news right now, isn't it? That's a good segue into what?
28 people killed.
Yeah, that's right. David, segue into that for George and I, would you please?
Yeah, when I reported on it, it was 27 people. Now I'm hearing it's 33, and it said another 109 are wounded.
Oh,
and basically, this was a train station in China, and a group of men, they said they were wearing uniforms, came in, and they attacked people with knives. And they stabbed a bunch of people to death, and they wounded a lot more people. And lo and behold, what it took for the authorities who are authorized to have guns to show up and shoot them to stop the attack. And the thing about China is the whole country is a government-mandated gun-free zone. And you can get this. There's a great resource online called gunpolicy.org. And it's actually run by anti-gunners from the Sydney School of Public Health. But what they do is they give you a really good online compilation of global gun statistics and law summaries. And in China, flat out, civilians are not allowed to possess any firearms, okay? Which, by the way, surprise, surprise, it won't surprise you guys, it doesn't really work in China because, again, back in 2010, I reported that in 2007, there was a study by the Geneva-based Graduate Institute of International Studies, and you know what they estimated the total number of guns held by civilians in China was? It was 40 million, okay? Now, so much for gun control working. And in China, penalties for illegal guns can range all the way up to death.
Wow.
Well, again, this highlights the obscenity of a so-called anything-free zone. Call it a knife-free zone in China. Call it what you want. Call it what you want.
And
there highlights the absurdity
of stabbings in China. Mark, it wasn't too long ago that something like 22 kindergartners were stabbed by one person. And, tell me that if somebody were evil enough that they couldn't go into a gun-free school zone here in this country armed only with a blade and wreak bloody, terrible havoc.
If that school were Newtown, the horror would have been just as unimaginable.
Hey, Mark.
Absolutely.
Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, and Latin Kings in New York, that's some of their initiations, is cut people with razor blades. That's exactly how they jump some of these guys into the game.
Nothing surprises you, and they go after who they believe to be the weak
weakest
in the
unarmed. One, exactly.
All right. David, I want to change up just a little bit here. George, we'll go to you on this as well. Mr. Codria, I haven't.
The
I
only
think
people
I've ever
who called... have to call me that are the wife and kids, and they just laugh. So,
well, now, you know, I wanted to take you in a certain direction, but I'm not going to do that. I want to move you over towards the Connecticut, towards this very dangerous situation in Connecticut. I had a very long discussion that we've got. Sean, see, I didn't catch that one coming. Mike Vanderbo is going to be here next week, ladies and gentlemen. David, 15 seconds. Tell us how important that will be.
Mike is basically going to bring you guys up to how dangerous the situation in Connecticut is.
All right, and he's going to do it in such a way that only he knows how to do it. And he's very blunt. He's going to tell you and give you his assessment. George Hill, I'm sorry we ran out of time. God bless you. Pleasure and privilege always. You'll be back next week. David Codria, always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for your contribution to the show as well. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. It was a great time, those of you in Houston. Thanks for coming out to the rodeo and to the Gander Mountain CCW Expo. Carry on, carry off, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
Here I come again now, baby, like a dog in heat.
Taking a look at the condition of your floors lately? Well, now through February 24th, Lumber Liquidators has beautiful hand-scraped hardwood on sale for 10 to 30% off their already low prices, including hand-scraped birch for just $2.69 a square foot. Hand-scraped hardwood really shows off the wood's natural perfection. Just gorgeous. If laminate flooring is more your style, they've got high-quality laminate on sale for just 49 cents a square foot. But hurry, this sale ends February 24th. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
Hi everyone, I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
New from America's most influential commentator, Charles Krauthammer, the best-selling book, Things That Matter, 3 decades of passions, pastimes, and politics. For years, readers and viewers have flocked to Krauthammer for his keen insight into politics, government, chess, and baseball. Now the best of Krauthammer's intelligence, wisdom, and wit are collected in one volume, perfect for the armchair pundit in your life. Pick up a copy of Things That Matter, wherever books